Welcome to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. Wherever you're listening from, welcome. We pray that the truth from the Word of God speaks to your heart during today's message.
The world would say, hey man, that guy's gifted. They would say that person is really naturally talented. And when the world makes a statement like that, they're revealing that the origin of that statement is self. Everything in the world is about self-exaltation. Be the best you can be. It's all about you. But Paul emphasizes in Romans 12, in these verses, he emphasizes the origins of these spiritual gifts, and that origin is from God. God gave each and every one of us spiritual gifts, and we need to praise Him for those gifts. Do you see where it says in verse number 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us? Man, I'm able to do. No, you have a gift that the Holy Spirit gave you. The origin is God. The origin is not us. And along with that gift, you, I, we have the opportunity and the privilege and the honor of using it for God's glory. If you have a gift or gifts from God, you don't get to choose whether or not you use them or not. It's assumed in the text that God expects you and I to use them for His glory. Does that make sense? We must get that. Number one, it's not like we could have acquired them on our own. When you got saved, when I got saved, God gave us such a bonus package, we didn't even know what all entailed with the salvation that we got. We just were thankful we were saved. And now we're looking at this morning, man, what a big bonus package. We have gifts now that we can use that we didn't have before. You don't need, and I don't know if I'm this guy or not, I don't know, but you don't need a pat on the back preacher where every time you do something, you get an attaboy or an attagirl or a fist bump or a high five. Now, I don't know if I've got that balanced out right. I don't know if I do that enough. I don't know if I do that too much. I don't know. But I do know this. You and I don't need to preach a sermon and have someone pat me on the back and say, attaboy. You know why? Because too much in our world, too much in culture Christianity is about us getting recognition for what we did. And by and large, we need to quit that. Amen. Christians need to stop that. Our church shouldn't start it. If we have started it, we should stop it. We don't need exaltation. We don't need preeminence. We don't need the pat on the back. Because everything that we have has come from God.
Amen.
Praise His name. Amen. Doesn't originate with us. And God knows and He sees who you and I are doing it for. We'll talk about, I'll hold this thought. We'll talk about it when we get to giving. So I'll hold the thought. But I say it so that I remember to go back to it. Romans 12, look at verse number 6. See this? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Okay, so it's given to us, but now they're different. And look, there's no such thing as a Christian hermit. The guy living in isolation isn't as spiritual as he's trying to make everybody think that he is. Do you know why? Because God says we have gifts that differ. And you know why God gave us different gifts? Is because we need gifts from other people. Do you have a gift, brother? If you're not here, I don't get to be ministered and served by what you have that I don't have. Does that make sense? Do you have a gift or gifts? Well, if you're not here and you have some gifts that these group of people don't have, they can't be served by you because you have something that they don't have, and vice versa. That's why they're different. We don't all have the same gifts because we all have different ones because we all have different needs. And if you're not here, I can't get help that I need. If you're not here, they can't get the help that they need. We need each other. We do. And it is okay. I know that once you get to, I don't know what age you get to, but you get to an age and you just think, it's just the way that I've always done it, and this is the way that it's going to be done. Is that what it means to be old? Because if it is, I don't want to be that person, not in Christianity. I mean, I get set in my ways. Do you? You live out in a farm and you put up a fence, you might get set in your ways, you put up so much fence and you're like, this is the way I'm doing it, I'm just setting my ways, I've done it so many other times, I'm not entertaining any other ideas. Okay, fine. But God said within the church, He gave different gifts, and they're different, so it's okay to be different. We're going to get the gift of ruling as we go through this. Do you know that it is okay for someone to rule differently than someone else? Look, that is okay. Why in the world a preacher would want to make those that are sitting in the pews clones of him is the most unbiblical idea that anybody has ever come up with on the face of the planet. Yet there is much preaching that happens all across our nation where the preacher is trying to make everybody think and do and act just like him. That ain't Bible. Amen. We are different. And you may have a gift and you may approach something different, and that is okay. It's okay. We're different. You ever have a Mormon come up with his bicycle on your front yard? What else does he have besides a bicycle? He's got a white shirt. What else does he have on the white shirt besides tons of starch because it don't move? And what else does he have? A name tag. And what does the name tag say? Elder. And how old is he? 20. You know, you say, well, that's ridiculous. None of that makes sense. You know what that is? Right off the bat, that's a violation of the idea of gifts differing. When you try to make everybody look the same, that isn't biblical. We don't all have to dress the same. There's principles upon dress. We don't all have to think the same. There's principles upon thinking soberly. You see the Amish, you see the Mennonite. How do they look? All the same. That's not Bible. We should be different because we do things different. We shouldn't all look, act, and do things the same. God gave us gifts. Here's what doesn't differ. You saved by grace? So am I. That don't differ. Are you saved on your way to heaven? Yeah, okay, that don't differ. I'm going the same heaven you are. I'm just as saved as you are. You're just as saved as she is. Do you have faith? Do you have grace? Do you have salvation? That don't differ. But the gifts do. The gifts do. And we're not talking about here the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about we already have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about those gifts imparted by the already and ever-present Holy Spirit that is within you and you and us if we are saved. Amen. 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 So, well, I just don't want to use my gift. And I just think, well, Lord, they were just given to the early church, and, we're so far past that. No. Romans 12, none of us, God doesn't give any of us a biblical option to not use the gifts that he has given us to serve the body. It's not an option. It's absolutely assumed in the text that we use what he gave us. People say, well, the early church had these gifts, but now that, you know, this church nowadays, all that's doing is blaming the failure of the church on God. And it creates a man-centered, self-centered, self-sufficient program that doesn't work. So these gifts have to be used. And if the church isn't working, it's not God's fault. And it's not because God just gave it to the early church. And it's not because God didn't give any of us gifts. It's because we refuse to submit ourselves to God and use them within the local body that he placed us in. Well, I don't like my preacher. I don't like me some days. Can the preacher say, well, I don't like the church members? Oh, well, I didn't think about that. No, you didn't. That's why I'm here, to help us think about things we don't think about. Well, you think my wife wakes up every morning and she's thrilled to see me? That don't happen every day. I don't like me some days. Why do you want a preacher that you just love and like all the time? You need a preacher who's going to tell you stuff that nobody else is going to tell you. And you can get away from it on the internet because you just click and off. But you can't get away from it in a local assembly. God requires you to put up with the preacher who has the gift of teaching. And he requires me to put up with people who have other gifts that I don't have. We are required by God to put up with each other because we need each other. You got kids, you think they love you every day? They don't, but they need you. You need them. Well, they're just getting on my nerves. I know, they're little monsters. I know. But you need them, and God put them in your life. And there's a function and a place and a way for everybody within the family to serve one another. That's the way it should be in a local church. Now, the other thing in Romans 12 is this. These are not sign gifts. They're service gifts. Romans 12 is about getting you and I not to look for a sign, but to look to serve. How can we serve? And I know serving doesn't have the flash that the charismatics want out of tongues, but that's not the point of Romans 12. The point is, look at 1 Corinthians 14. We'll take a little trip there real quick. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. These gifts in Romans 12 aren't about anything other than service. Me serving you, you get edified. You serving me, I get edified. Us serving each other, we as a church get edified. That's the point of Romans 12. The church is edified. No one person with their gift is the one that's exalted. Oh man, yeah, he has the gift. No, that's not Bible. That's man-centered, pragmatic marketing that the megachurch has taken at their own destruction. So you want to be a member of a church? You want to be a member?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what you got to do. You trust the Lord, you're saved, you're in his body. Now you come to a local church. You know what God expects you to do? Serve. Well, don't we have to get everybody together and figure out if you're really a member? No. Are you here? Do you want to serve? No, why not? Well, I don't have any gifts. Okay, let me show you Romans 12. You know what? You might have this gift. Let's get busy serving, see if that works. Oh, you know what? God revealed, yes, you do have that gift. And serve within the body. Find a way to serve. Each member is called to a specific type of service. Now, when Jesus was walking around during his earthly ministry, he received more trouble from the Jews than you would expect, right? They should know their Old Testament. They had the temple. But when Jesus walked around his earthly ministry, what wasn't in the temple? The Ark of the Covenant wasn't there. God's glory has since left the temple. And you know what the Jews gloried in? Oh, my temple. I got my temple. My temple. They could care less that God's glory had left. They could care less if it was there or wasn't there. But I got the temple. You know what our problem is as Christians? All we care about is our temple. Me, our temple. Our temple. Look, you know how many millions of dollars have been spent on cathedrals and churches? You can drive around this town. Some of the churches I see, I think, God, I'll never be able to afford that. You say, that's selfish thinking. It probably is, but I think it. How in the world do you... Thousands of people go there. They could care less if the Bible's open. They could care less if there's a move of the Holy Spirit. We got our building, man. We got our temple. We got our stuff that we want. It's God's people. God has given us a body. And you know what he has given us now that we're saved? The indwelt Holy Spirit. And you know what's dwelling in us? Gifts. And you know what we say? I don't care, God. They reside in you. And all we care about is our earthly temple. Let's keep ourselves healthy. Let's do all that stuff. I know we're supposed to do it. But God gave us spiritual gifts. They dwell in us. Let's care about them. Amen. Amen. And let's use them for his sole purpose and glory. All right, let's look at something else here in Romans 12. These gifts are according to something. Romans 12, verse 6, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Look at the end of the verse. According to the proportion of faith. So when our mind starts to speculate and our opinion starts to roll and our preference starts to come into play, that's not what it's according to. Well, I don't like the way that that brother rules. Does he have the gift? Yes. Is he doing something wrong? No, it's just I kind of prefer this. Who cares? Why do you care? Either A, you don't understand the gifts. B, it bothers you that it's okay to be different. Or C, you just exalt your opinion above everybody else. We're doing this church renovation project, and I've said to Eric a couple times, well, should we do this? He said, no, we should do that. Why? Because I said so. Okay. Now, he don't say it like that, but he has more experience, and he's been down the road more times with that. So it's okay if he does it different than I do it. Because number one, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I do. I try to convince my wife that I do, but I don't. Does anybody else live like that? Yeah. It's okay to be different. Let's not forget how these gifts are given. It's according to something. And it ain't according to what our mind can speculate. Let's trust God. Now let's look at the first one, prophecy. Okay, great. I want to be a mouthpiece for God. I want to be a prophet. Okay, it has to be according to verse number 6. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So you want to be a prophet for God? Okay. God says it's according to not my own or your own arrogance, not for my own or your own vainglory, But it's according to what? Faith. Faith in God. God's going to know why you're speaking up for Him. God's going to know what your motive is. He gave you the gift. I think He kind of knows how you're using it. Would you? Is that fair to say? Would you agree with that? Amen. But to get the prophecy, that's someone who is a foreteller of the mind of God. That's what a prophet does. Now, Old Testament prophets, I know it's been said that Old Testament prophets foretold future truth. And now New Testament prophets don't do that. We just foretell what's already been told for the future. And that's fair to say. That's true. That's right. But I'd like to bring out a point here this morning. That's not completely true. Because the Old Testament prophets told the people more what to do in their day and what not to do. And they told them how you can, this is what I want you to do right now for God. And if you look at all of what they said according to what they were supposed to do in the present, it's a lot more than what they foretold in the future. Did they foretell the future? They sure did. But they also told the people, here's what you do. The difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet, the Old Testament prophet didn't have the complete canon of Scripture, where a New Testament prophet does. We don't need sign gifts to confirm anything. We have it confirmed right in the written word. Amen. Amen. It's a good place to say amen right there. Amen. All right, go to 1 Corinthians 14 because we can get some help out of this one. The prophet announces or proclaims Christ with authoritative power. That's a prophet. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 14. Verse number 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. That's how we should speak. If it doesn't build you up, I am not exercising the gift properly. You should be edified, exhorted, and comforted. Now go down to verse number 26. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, if it isn't going to build up the body, stop it. Now watch this. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three. Somebody says, well, they have these churches and they say, well, we all have the gift of tongues. And you have all these people speaking in an unknown tongue. You don't know what it is. It's yabba dabba do. You know how I know that's wrong? Because the first qualification, if you have the gift of tongues, is it can't be more than three people. Is that what it says? I mean, is that what it says, brother? Look what it says. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. That's the first qualification. Watch what it says next. And that by course, and let one interpret. And by course, so it's not everybody going at the same time. That brother's going to go, then that brother's going to go, then that brother's going to go, and then that's it. But you know what the second qualification is? You have to have an interpreter. You have to have an interpreter. And then it says, Let's see. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep what? Silence in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Oh boy. So if there's no interpreter, hush. You know what the third requirement is? Watch. It says, okay, yeah, we'll read right here in the verse. Watch, look. But if there be no interpreter, let her keep silence in the church. Let her speak to herself. You know what the third requirement is? It was men that were doing it. You go into some of these flashy, charismatic outfits. You know who most of the population of the congregation is doing the whole tongue talking? The women. That's how else I know it's wrong. No more than three. Each goes at one time. There must be an interpreter. If there's not, everybody should hush. And if there is three, it can only be what? Men. Now, is that what the Bible says? Am I giving you the Bible or am I giving you... Right? That's simple. That's simple. Now, go down to verse number 29. It's took a little side trail on that, but here's the more important point. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If you have the gift of prophecy, you'll be able to judge what I say. If I'm a mouthpiece for God and you have the gift of prophecy, you can judge what I say. You know what prophets do? If you have the gift of prophecy, they can judge whether or not this is God or not God. Now, how many of you want that guy or that gal in our church? Yes, that gift is needed. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that ye may all learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. See that? Anybody that has the gift of prophecy, that means we are subject one to another. Why? To judge each other and what each other says to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. That's how God set up that thing to go. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches to the saints. Let women keep silent in the churches. That goes back to that the tongue is only by men in the church. So that's it. They judge. And watch, let's do one more on that. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So somebody that has the gift of prophecy, don't despise that person. They're there to judge so that they can prove. They're going to keep their eye on it because all things need to be proven. Now, you want that guy or that gal in your church, somebody's got that gift to be able to judge and prove. And how do I know to abstain from all appearance of evil? I'm telling you, there'll be people in the congregation that have the gift of prophecy that will be able to approve. Is that thing good or not good? Let's prove it and see. You want that in a local church. That's what makes the body stronger, is that gift of prophecy. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Go to Romans 12. What's the next one? The Bible says in Romans 12, verse number 7, here's the next gift, or ministry. Wasn't that you, preacher? Well, let's see. Let us wait on our ministering. Now, what is a waiter? If you were to go to a restaurant after church, you go to lunch, what does that waiter do? That waiter waits on you. That waiter is there to serve you. Now, if you have the gift of ministering, you're going to have to wait on people. You know, you're going to go out to one of these steakhouses after church this afternoon, and you're going to come in and you're going to get seated, and then the waiter's going to come over and they're going to take one look at your family and they're going to turn around and say, I'm not waiting on that guy. I don't know what... Now, would a waiter do that? No. But you know what? A lot of church people do that. A lot of church people do that. They walk in, they take one look at the preacher, say, I'm out of here. There's a lot of preachers do that. There's a lot of church people do. They look at one another and say, I'm not waiting on him. You're kidding me if you think I'm going to wait on you, buddy. That's the hard attitude that a lot of so-called Christians have. You saying they ain't saved? No, they're saved. They just don't want to act like Christ. I don't want you to wear me out. Don't sign up for that on the sign-up sheet. I'm here to wear the preacher out. I don't want that. But if you decide to wear me out, I will, with the Holy Spirit's help, wait on you, serve you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave me that gift. Who am I to deny God and say, that brother ain't worth it. That sister ain't worth it. That preacher ain't worth it. That family ain't worth it. You're just going to end up trying to clone everybody like you, and you're going to end up just you. And I don't want to be that. I don't want us to be that. We get busy serving. That's what Christians do. It's interesting, God places it right between prophecy and teaching, this gift of ministry. And God blesses you so you can bless others. The new word nowadays is voluntold. Nobody wants to volunteer anymore. So they have to be told to do something. Somebody that has the gift of ministry, they don't have to be voluntold. They just get busy ministering and serving. Now this is important. You must volunteer yourself. Go to Mark 10. Matthew, Mark, the 10th chapter. Look at verse 42. Mark 10. Mark 10, look at verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto him, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. This is the Bible's way of defining how you can pretty much count on creating resentment. Resentment's an awful thing. You know how you can create resentment? You demand and you force people to do something that they don't want to do. And you know what Jesus says? Verse 43. But so shall it not be among you. Don't you dare think about exercising lordship or demanding authority. Jesus says, don't you dare. He actually says, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your what? Minister. You got the gift of ministering? You will not have a lording, authoritative attitude. And if you do, that ain't from the Holy Spirit. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of just the ones that he likes and can get along with anyway. Oh no, shall be the servant of all. All. It's tough stuff, isn't it? It's rough on a Sunday morning. That's it. That's it. Go to Acts 6. Acts 6. Acts chapter 6. We're going to get two perspectives here. Two perspectives. Acts chapter number 6. You're familiar with verse number 1. At the end of the verse, we got widows being neglected. And then verse number 2, the 12 were called. The multitude of the disciples unto them and said, is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? See that? Two things right there. You have the word of God has to be taught, and you get tables have to be served. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, in verse number 1, you had widows that were being neglected in the daily ministration. What do you think, they weren't being taught the Word of God? No, nobody was feeding them. Nobody was taking care of their carnal needs. That daily ministry, that daily ministration wasn't getting taken care of. And then you have, we see at verse number 4, at the end of that, we have the ministry of the Word. So in Acts 6, you got a problem. Carnal ministry has to take place, serving food, serving tables. Spiritual ministry has to take place, teaching the Word of God. Spirit serving, spiritual nutrition, spiritual food. How's it all going to be done? By the preacher? No. He's not the only minister. Does that make sense?
Amen.
We need somebody to serve tables. We need somebody to sweep floors. We need someone to do other things other than teach and serve people the nutrition from the Word of God. We need all of it, but not one person can do all of it. If you have the gift of ministry, that doesn't necessarily mean you're called to preach. You might be called to minister in a carnal way within the body. Does that make sense? Do we see that from Acts 6? Look at 1 Corinthians 6. We can back it up with another cross-reference. 1 Corinthians 6. I gotta keep my glasses on. 1 Corinthians 16. That's a good one. 1 Corinthians 16. Look at verse 15. 1 Corinthians 16, 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. It's the first fruits of Achaia. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. God's word refers to these folks in 1 Corinthians 16 as ministers. They're helping supply carnal or physical needs to the body. Somebody's sick, they need a meal, these folks are ready to step up. Something broke at the church house. These types of people are those that step up. They're ministering to those needs of the saints. And they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They help us. They labor with us. If they see something lacking, they supply it. Praise God. They have the gift of ministry. That may be you. Preachers got to be careful to say, well, I was called to the ministry, as if they're the only ones called to the ministry. We all have a ministry.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The entire church. Go to Romans 15. The entire church is a body of ministers. Romans 15. Look at verse number 16. Watch it. Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Well, what's he doing? Ministering the gospel of God. So we see here in Romans 15, somebody that is preaching the gospel is exercising that gift of ministry. They're giving the gospel, and that is called, when you preach the gospel, that's called ministry. You know what else? In the same chapter, look at verse 25. Watch this. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also, watch this, to minister unto them in what? Carnal things. You know what God calls in the same chapter? Someone that's preaching the gospel, he's ministering, and someone that is giving and helping with the carnal needs of those that preach the gospel. You know what he's calling both of them? Ministers. It ain't just the preacher. It's a body. We are a body of ministers. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 11. Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the
ministry.
You got it. For the edifying of the body of Christ. You see it? Some, not all. It's all there, but not all has all the gift. That it's some. You have some that I don't, vice versa. We have, so that's the idea. Go to Acts chapter number 13. This gift of ministering is pretty expansive. Look at Acts 13, look at verse number 2. Acts 13, verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Verse number 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. You know what John Mark was? He was their traveling companion. He assisted them. And God says, that guy who isn't preaching the word, that guy's your minister. How about that? How about that? You're traveling around preaching, and you've got a companion. Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your friend, maybe it's somebody in the church, and they're traveling around with you, and God calls that guy your minister. Now that's good. We all have gifts, and don't think that just the preacher has the gift of ministry. I want to show you a few more, and then we'll do teaching, and then we'll wrap up. But I do want to get through this, because this is important. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And look at verse number 1. For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the frowardness of your mind. And it goes on. And then it talks about covetousness. And then it talks about verse number 7. Watch this. And every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, we're going to get to giving later, but I want to say this about ministry. For as touching the ministering to the saints. And it goes on and it talks about money. But this ministering, as you give, and as the saints need money, and as the local church needs money, when you give to that, that's called ministering. It's a service to the body of Christ. And God says, hey, you are ministering to the body. I'll show you two more. Ephesians 4. Look at verse number 29. I'm going to show you another way to use the gift of ministry if you have it. I hope you have it on this one. Ephesians 4, look at verse number 29. Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may what? Minister grace unto the hearers. Good communication is you are ministering to the saints. I'm telling you, brother, sister, if you come into church and you have a good, edifying, sweet, pleasant words to say, do you know what you're doing to this brother's heart and that sister's heart and my heart and to the hearts of those in the congregation? You're ministering to them. Use the gifts that God gave you. And if it's through good communication, use it and minister to someone's ears and heart.
Thank you for listening to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. In the meantime, you can sign up for our email newsletter at www.pilgrimbaptist.church.